Hello, and welcome to the podcast for Christ Community Church in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. This is the message given on Sunday morning, July the 9th, by Lee Younger from Galatians chapter 5.
You know, when Tom was inviting you all to the fellowship meal earlier, that's a very serious thing. You want to pay attention to that, because I was out there a minute ago, and there's like some char-grilled corn on the cob. I heard a rumor that there's bacon-wrapped peppers and pickles also, so you're going to want to be there. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you so much for the time that we've already had this morning. It's already been a great day to be here and to sing and to hear my brothers and sisters singing about how good it is, how good it feels, how good it is to be loved by Jesus. There's no other love I would long for. If this is the only love I had, it would be more than enough. We're so grateful. Pray for our time now, that you would give us open ears and open hearts to receive what you have for us in your word. Help me to make it clean and clear and simple. And Lord, I'm praying that you would break down any resistance that anybody might have and give them a heart to receive. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've been talking for the past few weeks about the message of our good news, specifically in Paul's letter to the church the Galatians, the church in Galatia. And he was really upset when he wrote this letter, and that's because after he left this place, some folks came in and they said, you know what? That simple message of Jesus, it's not enough. We're going to add some stuff to it. There's some things you can do to it that will kind of pump up and turn up your Christianity, and you can be extra acceptable to God if you will do these extra things. You can supersize the whole thing. And Paul said, no, that is a different gospel. That's a different good news. That's not a good news. He said, in fact, it's like an enchantment that becomes a curse, and it never stops cursing your life. You can never get to the end of it. It never stops. You can never be good enough. And then it has this result that it takes away all the joy that you have in Jesus. And today we're going to hear what he has to say about, finally, how to get real change. Because one thing that I've been saying from the beginning is that the gospel is not just how you get to know Jesus. It's not just the basics in the beginning. It's the whole thing. It's your whole relationship with Jesus. It's not just the appetizer. It's the whole meal. This is what it means to know Jesus the whole time. We don't graduate past this. The simple message of the good news is the most powerful agent for change and growth in a human heart. And so how is that? Well, Paul says before we can figure that out, you have to understand one thing, and that is that you are in a conflict. Before we get there, before we look at chapter 5 of Galatians, real quickly, when Christy and I first moved back to Oak Ridge after college, we bought this little house about a mile away from where we're sitting right now. And when we bought it, the guy that sold us the house said, okay, here's the deal. If you want to go ahead and buy this house as it is, then I'll sell it to you real cheap. Otherwise, I'll spend a week in here, throw a coat of paint on the walls, and I'll hike the price up. And I'm like, I can throw paint, you know, so let's just do it. Let's do this right now. So we bought this place, and I went and looked around. It was kind of a dump, okay? It was really a dump, but like there was a door that was off the hinges and everything. There's holes in the wall, and I'm like, I think I can handle this, you know, I can patch some sheetrock, and I can definitely throw paint. This is not going to be a big deal. We were still living in Cookeville at the time, and Christy was finishing up school. And so I remember this one morning after we bought the house, I went to Home Depot in Cookeville, and I bought some paint, and I think I bought a tape measure. I don't even know why. And I'm not real good at that kind of stuff, and I was like, you probably need this. And I drove to Oak Ridge, and I had the keys in my hand, and I went in and started looking around, and I realized I'm in a world of hurt. And I'm way in over my head because this place is a hot mess. And it was a disaster from top to bottom. And I realized I need a lot of help and I can't change this thing by myself. I don't know what I'm doing with a lot of this. At one point, I went down in the crawl space under the house and sadly discovered that the drain underneath the bathtub and the shower had a 2-inch gap in it. So like there's the drain, it comes down, and then there's a 2-inch gap, and then there's the rest of the drain. Which means that all the water that you take a shower with or a bath with, like some of it is going to actually drain out of the house. Lots of it is just going to fly everywhere underneath the joists and everything like that. And you think, you know, if I take a bath or take a shower, I'm doing humanity a service. And it's like, no, I'm slowly ruining the structural integrity of my house. And I was like, I don't know what to do about this. And it turned out that all the joists and everything, it was all getting rotted out and everything. It was nasty. It was about to fall in. And so I'm just like calling for help, whoever I can get. And I felt so bad just kind of like bringing all these people in to help me. But I remember Will Reed came and helped me. And I was like, Will, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry to ask you to do this. And he was like, no, this is the greatest day ever. I was like, why? And he said, because I've been trying to convince Kim forever that I need a Sawzall. So this is awesome. You know, so he goes down to Home Depot and gets the tool that he needs. And we tore that whole bathroom out, put a whole new bathroom in. It was awesome. You know, I think that when we look at our heart and our mind and our life, and we know we've got some growing edges, we know we've got some stuff that we need to work on, and a lot of times it feels like, yeah, I mean, I got some areas I need to grow and some stuff I need to work on, but I can probably handle that. But then as you honestly get to dig in deep in changing yourself and trying to grow, you find out, like I did at that house, I got a hot mess on my hands. And I'm in way over my head. How many of us have been in the situation where you see something in your life and you're like, I gotta change this? Whether it's an action, whether it's an attitude, whether it's a relationship in my life, I gotta do something about this. And so you decide, all right, it starts today, I'm gonna get this fixed. And you have a good couple of days, you're not doing that thing, or you're not acting and, you know, feeling in that way if it's an attitude, you're trying to clean this relationship up or whatever. And then the situation changes and you realize like, ooh, I don't know what to do here. I feel uncomfortable without that thing in my life, whether it's, you know, it's anger, it's pornography, or if it's whatever it is. And it's like, I'm kind of missing that. And this is, that thing is kind of always how I got through this feeling before. And I'm going to muscle it out another day. And then you make it another day, but that it gets tougher. And then you just feel like, okay, I'm going to go back there. I'm going to do that thing, or I'm going to act in that way, or I'm going to go ahead and give full vent to my anger or whatever it is. And then you fall in that thing again. And then you realize I'm nowhere. And so then you just go for it. And then a little while later, you're like, oh, I got to get that back under control. And so you decide, I'm going to try it again, okay? I'm going to fix this thing. I'm going to stop this thing. And you feel good for a little while, but then the situation changes and you kind of miss that thing and you kind of want the comfort of it. And that's how you've always gotten through this kind of thing before. And so you do it again and then you fail again and then you just let go in it again. And how many of us have been in that cycle? There's a lot of blank faces looking at me, but I hope I'm not the only one. I think we've been there. Why can't I change myself? Why can't I fix what's going on in my life? This is what Paul has to say in Galatians chapter 5. Starting in verse 16, he says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like." You're like, dude, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Let's keep in step by the Spirit. This is what Paul is saying. He's, you know, when we look at ourselves and what it would take and what it would mean to change ourselves, the first thing Paul wants you to know is we can't get anywhere on this unless you understand the conflict at the bottom of it. We're in a conflict. You woke up today in a fight, whether or not you know it. Maybe you haven't thought about that in a while. But every single day when you wake up, that alarm goes off or you wake up on your own, you woke up in a fight. And we've got to understand that before we can understand anything else about it. If we're going to ask the question of why can't I change? Why do I do things I don't want to do? Why do I keep doing that? Why can't I fix myself? We have to start here. Paul says, you are in a conflict. There is an opposition going on inside you like a tug of war. And he said it's between the spirit and, he says, the sinful nature in this translation. Literally, in the Greek, he just says the flesh. And we've kind of got to break that down and figure out what that means, which we're going to do in just a second. But before we can get there, what we need to look at is something about you and me that's true about every single person. And that is, if we're going to get to the end of this, we have to start here. That you were made by God with certain needs. Certain things you have to have. You've got to have them, and if you don't have them, you go looking for them. And you're always looking for them all the time. Everybody is, because God made you this way, with this big gaping hole where you've got to have some stuff. You've got to have a sense of being loved, of being wanted, of being important, of your life mattering, of it having some meaning and purpose, of you being accepted, of there being a reason that you're here, of you having some satisfaction and fulfillment. God made you that way. And there's no person who doesn't want that stuff. You're always looking for it. It's like you're going through your life and you've got questions that you're trying to find the answer for. And the questions are these. Why do I matter? How do I know that I'm loved and wanted? Why do I matter? Where do I belong? How do I know I'm accepted or that I fit or that my life has a specific meaning or a purpose? And what's going to fill me up? Where can I find some satisfaction and some joy? Every single person is always looking for that stuff because God made us that way. Does that make sense? Everybody's looking for those. Those are primary, basic things you've got to have. Why do I matter? Where do I belong? And what's going to fill me up? We're always looking for the answers to those questions. And what Paul says is, in this he says, there's basically, the reason you have a conflict going on inside you is that you have a new factor in your life that not everybody does if you've believed in Jesus. You have this fight going on, this conflict between the spirit and flesh. This is what he says. That's what that sinful nature thing means. When you accepted Jesus, okay, we're going to try to figure out what that means. Because when we say flesh, it's kind of one of those churchy words that if you grew up in church, you've heard it all your life and you kind of think you know what it means. But if you didn't, you're like, what are they talking about? What is flesh? What does that even mean? I mean, we have tissue and stuff like that. Is that what he's talking about? Like the tissue in your body? And this is what Paul means. When you accepted Jesus, the amazing thing that happened to you is not only did you get forgiven for your sins, past, present, and future, you got a guaranteed place in heaven, but the Spirit of God came to make a dwelling inside you, inside your heart and mind. The Spirit of God lives inside you. Now, I don't know how to explain what that means, except that I have a new factor in my life. I'm not alone anymore. The wisdom of God is helping me, and the power of God is helping me. And he's so close, he's within my mind and my heart, and he's giving me new affections, new desires, a new kind of joy, a new kind of fulfillment. This is a brand new factor in my life. When you believe in Jesus, the Spirit of God comes to live inside your heart, and he's giving you a new way to look at the world and a new stuff to care about. Before that happened, it was just you on your own, baby. Just you by yourself. And it was just me by myself. And all my amazing wisdom and all my great ideas. And all of my amazing natural feelings and desires and all of that stuff. Everything, every little impulse and all my experience, all my common sense and all of my every little whim, that's how I made my decisions. Everything I want to do, everything I think or feel, all my attitudes, desires, all that stuff was just kind of directed by me. Just me, by myself. And all of my amazing wisdom and awesomeness. All of my incredible strength. And you too. All of your incredible strength and experiences and amazing wisdom and great ideas. And here's the thing is, if you have a person who's got these huge gaping questions inside their heart and soul, they have to answer, why do I matter? Why, how can I know I'm loved or that I'm wanted? And now I've got to figure that out on my own with my amazing ideas and wisdom and my incredible and awesome strength. Guess what? we're going to have a hot mess on our hands real fast. It's going to be a mess. And that's why Paul says you've got a conflict between the spirit and the flesh. And he said, and he goes on to say, the works of the flesh. He says the acts of the sinful nature in this translation. But literally, the Greek word for acts is, it's the word ergo. It's like, it's the word for works. It's like the word ergonomics, which the nomos in there means like the division of work. It's like, we're going to spread out the work as, you know, as economically as we can. This is just means work. The works of you on your own, he says, are obvious. And then he gives that list. That list that, like, to be honest, is pretty extreme. You know, it has the word witchcraft and idolatry in it, and you're like, whoa, orgies was in there at some point. You're like, dude, just let's dial it back just a little bit. But he says, this is what the works of the flesh looks like. He says, and it's obvious that people are like this. And you're like, why is that obvious? Well, it's obvious because if it's just me on my own trying to fill up my sense of belonging and importance and love and why I matter and where I fit with all of my amazing wisdom and great ideas and incredible strength, guess what? We're going to do some crazy backward stuff. And we're going to think in some crazy backward ways. You know, when you look at this list that Paul gives about the works of the flesh, it's easy to kind of say, well, that's young people stuff. Or that's lost people stuff. That's not me stuff. Like, I don't remember the last time I engaged in witchcraft, which, like, you know, which we're like, yeah, I'm not in the occult, nor do I know anybody in the occult. But you know what's funny about that is that I think this stuff has to do with us more than we think. For instance, real quick, what is the heart behind witchcraft if it's not just like, I want to change something about my life, and I don't want to have to go the long way around to the regular people. Maybe there's some secret words or some secret potions or some secrets that were going to give me a shortcut to where I want to go. And how many of us have thought, I want to change my life. I want to change my mood. I want to change my weight. I want to change my situation. I want to control my stuff. And I need a shortcut for that. And so maybe it's the latest fad little diet, or maybe it's the latest little fad psychology with all its fancy little terminology, secret words that will give you a shortcut to change your life. And it's like, hey, this stuff is closer than we think. It's closer to us than we think. It's more appealing to us than we think. And Paul says it's obvious why people are like that. Because we've all got this burning question inside us. And even after you come to know Jesus, your flesh is still there talking to you. It's not just that the Spirit of God comes into your life and then the rest of that stuff is over, because you're still talking and you're still like, okay, every single morning, why do I matter? Where am I going to find love? Where am I going to belong? And your flesh has some ideas. I got some ideas. I know what we can do about that. Paul says we got sexual needs. And he says that it obviously goes into sexual immorality. The word is porneia, by the way, the Greek word. And it's like, I think we all understand. He just said it's an obvious thing. It just makes sense. Why does that make sense? Because I want to be loved. And I want to be wanted. And I want intimacy. And if I can't figure that out in God's way, or I can't wait on that in God's timing, then I'll take whatever I can get. And I'll take a shortcut. And I'll take a substitution from the intimacy that God wants me to know. And I'll just answer this for myself right now. And I'll just get a little physical pleasure. Whether that's watching pornography, or whether that's, you know, the books I'm reading that give me a little sense of the romance that I'm kind of missing, the intimacy that I'm longing for, that I'm not maybe getting my marriage. Or maybe it's not just a quick physical pleasure that I'm looking for as a substitute to all that. Maybe it's just somebody's attention. I can use sex just to get somebody's attention. So I send the pictures that I do, and I receive the pictures that I do. And it's easy for us who are grown to look at kids and say, that is so ridiculous. But I can say that for my part, it's a good thing they didn't have these kind of phones when I was 17. I'm thankful. I would have been a hot mess real quick. And I think all of us who are honest can say, I don't know if I would have known how to handle myself. Because Paul said, it's obvious. If it's just me on my own with my great ideas and my wisdom and my insecurities and my hang-ups, this is where I'm going to go. This is what I'm going to do. Paul said, idolatry is obvious. And you're like, well, I don't bow down to idols and stuff. No, but We do ask things in our lives to do for us what only God is supposed to do. We ask a lot of things in our life to be our identity, to tell us who we are, which is God's job, right? So that's why we feel the way we do about our job title, about our money. That's why we're so stressed about our kids and their achievements, because I'm a this, because I make this money, because I'm a parent, and that tells me who I am, and that's my central identity, or because I'm an American, or because I'm a Tennessean, or because I'm a Vol for Life, whatever that is. And you can tell if that's happening to you, because when that situation changes and it ruins your life, when I get laid off, or there's a money problem, or something happens with my kids, or the Vols lose, and I'm just in a fit for 3 days, I'm asking somebody to do for me what only God was ever supposed to do. This stuff seems extreme. It's closer than we think. Because all of us are answering this question. Why do I matter? Where do I belong? What's going to give me satisfaction and fill me up? Paul said we have hatred and discord. And he said it's obvious why. Because that flesh starts talking, that self, with all of its great ideas and all of its insecurities and hang-ups and all of its amazing strength. And it starts yapping. You know, if you're going to find out where you belong, the easiest and fastest way to do that is to go ahead and classify other people as not belonging. If I go ahead and classify us and them, then now I know where I stand and now I know where I belong. And y'all, that's where our racism and hatred and prejudice, that's where all that stuff comes from. Because I'm just trying to figure out who I am and I'm trying to figure out where I belong. And the fastest way for me to do that, because it's a bottomless thing, is to go ahead and hate somebody else. It's to go ahead and judge somebody else. It's to go ahead and look at somebody else's life. Wish I had it, be jealous and hate them, and now I feel better about who I am in some twisted way. And that's in us. It's closer than we think. Because we wake up in the morning in a fight. How do I change myself? Well, there's two ways to do it, and only one of them works. But we've got a fight going on, and we've got to answer these questions. Paul said it's where fits of rage come from, and it makes sense. Because if my life is not what I want it to be, then rather than figuring out how to trust God and learning how to get peace from Him and stuff like that, I just vent my frustration. And y'all, that is a way to compensate yourself. The anger, the fit of rage, that whether it's underneath your breath or in your heart, whether it's in a one-on-one conversation with somebody else that just lets you vent it, whatever that situation is, that is a way that you compensate yourself with a little dopamine rush for the fact that you're so frustrated that your life is not what you want it to be. In this moment or in this way or in this relationship or this situation. He said it just makes sense because all day long you're asking the question, why do I matter and where do I belong and what's going to fill me up with satisfaction and joy? And I don't know, and so I'm just blowing up. He said it makes sense. Hey, it's your best guess. It's not a surprise to anyone. This is common. It's closer than you think. There are so many things that he has in this list. We're not even looking at all, and we're just kind of catching some highlights, but why am I like this? Why is it that I want stuff that really I don't even want? And why do I do stuff that doesn't work? And why do I get caught again and again in that cycle of trying and running out of gas and failing and then hating myself and then trying again and running out of gas? And it's because I don't know that I'm in a fight every single day. And I've got these huge questions that I've got to find answers for. And here's the problem. Here's the whole thing with that whole list of the works of the flesh, of me on my own. Is that if I'm answering those questions on my own, what's really happening is I'm asking everyone in my life and every situation in my life and everything in my life to tell me who I am, to tell me why I matter, to tell me where I belong. And the whole world is not enough to answer that question for you. It will never be enough. Your kids will never be good enough to tell you who you are. Your salary will never be enough to make you feel good about who you are. No sexual thing outside God's plan for you will ever satisfy you or be enough to tell you who you are. No shortcut that we take to change our life is ever going to be enough to answer those questions. And then if we're walking in this flesh, we're asking everybody. It's like, I've got to find out who I am and why I'm loved and why I'm wanted and where I matter and where I fit. And I'm grabbing and grasping. And that's why Paul says it's the works of the flesh, of the self. You're working so hard to try out where you fit, to figure it out. And it's so cool. I love the way Paul does this, because when he finally lets us in on the answer, he doesn't juxtapose the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit. He says, the works of the flesh are obvious, but the fruit of the Spirit is this. The fruit. You see, if it's me on my own, I gotta work, and I gotta grab, and I gotta grasp. And I'm haunted by my past, and I'm terrified about my future, and everybody is not enough to fill me up. I'm grasping, and I'm clawing to get. He said the other side is fruit. It grows. You can either grab and get, or you can grow. And that's a cool thing. In other words, you were always supposed to go to the gospel. Back to the gospel, to the simple, sweet message of Jesus to answer all those bottomless questions in your heart and mind. Why do I matter? Where do I belong? What's going to fill me up and satisfy me? Paul said it in the first couple of sentences of this letter. Our message, Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. Jesus gave himself for me. Jesus loves me. The infinite heart of God. I am loved and wanted and pursued and sacrificially bought by the infinite heart of God. My infinite quest for being wanted and loved is answered by an infinite heart that gave precious blood. Wow. Where do I belong? Where do I fit? I fit with him. I'm in his family. I'm an adopted child of the King of Kings, going home to heaven as his adopted kid. That's where I belong. My meaning and purpose is found in him. This is according to the will of God, the God who has a will for my life. And when I walk in that and follow him and serve him, that's when I find the peace and the joy and the fulfillment and the satisfaction like I've never felt it in my life. Every question that I'm asking everybody in my life and the whole world to give me is answered in infinite supply in the simple and sweet gospel of Jesus. So what do I do? How do I grow instead of grasp? Well, I think the first thing we have to do is what Paul said at the very beginning. I've got to know I'm in a battle, and I've got to get ready to fight. And the way that I fight is not more grasping and grabbing to find out who I am, but just to go back to Jesus. Every day. Go back to him every single day. I've got to get in the scriptures and I've got to ask Jesus, hey, Jesus, here's the deal with me today. I've got a bottomless vat of needs and I need you to fill all of them up. And if you don't, I'm going to make a terrible mess. I'm going to hurt somebody. I'm going to be frustrated. I'm going to stick my foot in my mouth. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be fast. It's going to be deep. I don't know if I'm going to be able to claw my way out of it. So could you go ahead and fill me up before I start this day? And he says, come back as often as you want to, baby. Get filled up again and again and again. And guess what? Stuff will just grow. You don't have to grasp and claw for it. It just grows. And the fruit is all that stuff that if you grew up in church, you memorized as a little kid. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And you can look at it and you can easily see why. If I know how loved I am by Jesus and I don't need anybody else to fill up that need in me, then I can just love you. And if you have more than me, that's fine. If you're different than me, that's okay. That's cool. It's more interesting. It's awesome, and I can just love you. I don't have to hate you. I don't have to push you. I don't have to judge you. I don't have to see you as a threat. If I'm asking Jesus to fill up my needs, it just makes sense that peace would grow in my life, that joy would grow in my life, that kindness would be a fruit that would just grow in my life. I don't have to grasp and claw to find out who I am. I already know who I am. So self-control is just a thing that is growing in my life. It's beautiful. I was talking to my friend Paul Bingham this week, who most of you guys know is a captain in the United States Army, just moved to Fort Campbell back in Tennessee. Patty's so pumped. But I was talking to him, and I asked him a simple question. I said, I would like to know from you, what do you guys do, like when you're in a battle situation and you're about to go out for a patrol operation, something like that, what do you do as somebody that has soldiers under you before you go out into that battle? And he said, I love that you're asking me this. And he sent me so much information, y'all. It was like the dude was lit up on fire. He had so many cool things. He was like, and this has a spiritual parallel, and this has a spiritual parallel. He was so excited. I'm going to give you a couple little things that he told me. He said, before every operation goes out, they have something called PCCs or PCIs. And that means a pre-combat check or a pre-combat inspection. And so they check all of their gear and all their tools and all their weapons and all their stuff before they cross this imaginary line, he says, between friendly and enemy. And he said it's a physical list, and it's got to be a physical list, because if it's not a physical list, some dude that's been up for 36 hours is going to forget one piece of equipment, and it's going to be that thing they needed to get through that door, which was the whole point of the mission anyway. And they get out there and they're like, okay, now we're all in trouble because you forgot that one thing. And so they have this physical list and they go through it, and then they have all this crazy stuff where everybody has figured out like everything about their terrain and all the things that we anticipate the enemy's going to do. And if we fall back to this position, they want us to. So they're going to, if we act in this way, they react in that way. And we have a counteraction plan and all this stuff. And the amount of planning and the amount of thinking and the amount of creativity and just all the checks and everything. It was astounding as I was reading it. And then the thought that I had was this dizzying thought of how many times in my life have I gotten out of bed, you know, turned on my phone and started scrolling through Facebook, and all of a sudden, I'm done. I didn't even know I was in a battle, and I'm already hosed. I'm already jealous. I'm already struggling. I'm already 5 miles deep in all of my insecurities because I didn't even know I was in a battle. I didn't do a PCC or PCI. I didn't do anything. I'm not ready for anything. I don't have any equipment, much less all of it. How many times have we gotten to lunchtime before we even thought about the fact that I'm in a battle today? And it's a big deal because my heart and mind are asking huge questions. Why do I matter? Where do I belong? And where am I going to get filled up? And the Spirit of God is saying to me, come find out. Come find out. I'll fill you up all the way, as much as you need, as often as you like. And stuff's just going to grow in your life. You know, in the night that Jesus was betrayed, he was with his disciples. They were eating dinner, and he broke bread, and he said, this is my body that's broken for you. He poured out a cup, and he said, this cup is my blood spilled for the forgiveness of sins. Every time that you eat this and drink this, I want you to remember what I'm doing for you. They left that meal, and they went out of Jerusalem. They crossed through the Kidron Valley. They went up into the Mount of Olives. On their way, they must have passed a vineyard or something. I guess Jesus probably stopped them along the way, and he said, I've got a last lesson for y'all, and it's a big deal. It's maybe the most important thing I've ever told you. He said, I am the vine. My Father is the gardener. He's the guy that runs the vineyard. And you guys are the branches. And if you get disconnected from me, you can't grow anything. You on your own, by yourself, with all of your great ideas and all of your insecurities and hang-ups and all of your wisdom and all of your amazing strength, it's not going to go anywhere. It is going to be a hot mess so fast. He said, but if you stay with me, if you stay connected to me, then all of my life is going to give you what you need to grow. I'm going to grow stuff in you. And you don't have to grasp and get. You just get to grow. In 10 verses, Jesus told his guys, stay 11 times. In 10 verses, 11 times, stay, stay, stay with me. Get up early, find me, and stay with me. I will fill you up. I will answer the questions. I will fill you up before you go out. You are in a fight today. You've got to answer the questions. Let's get with Jesus so that we grow instead of grasping. We're going to take communion. And the way we do this is you don't have to be a member of the church or anything like that. We just ask that you know that you have had a point in your life where you have said to Jesus, I'm done being just me on my own by myself. I want you to come into my life. I need you to rescue me. If you've never done that, you could do it right now. It takes exactly as long as I just said that. You could ask Jesus to come into your life and he will. He'll come rampaging into your life. He's waiting to. He loves you. He wants to forgive you and rescue you and justify you and fill you up. When I was a kid, we always took communion. We were always sad thinking about all of our old sins and stuff like that. Could I encourage you, as you take the bread and the cup today, to look at this as what it is? This is the good news of Jesus. Good news. I know why I'm loved. I know who loves me. Good news, I know exactly where I belong. Good news, I know exactly what's going to fill me up and satisfy me. Which means I can go out into my day and I don't have to grasp and claw for all that stuff. I can just grow. Why don't you come up and let's take some good news together.
Jesus, lover of my soul, let me fly, let me fly. While the near waters roll, while the tempest is still as high, hide me, oh my Savior. High, till the storm of life is past, safe into the haven, God. Oh, receive my soul at last. Other refuge have I not. My helpless soul on me, leave me not alone, still support and comfort me. All my trust on thee is stayed. From me I pray. Cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy wings. Thou, O Christ, are all I want, more than all in thee I find. Raise the fallen, cheer the faint, heal the sick, and lead the blind. Reach me out that gracious hand, while I owe thy strength. Let me fly, let me fly.